You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
But yeah,
SDBC said bros. I don't know if he's talking about us or the stock. Luke, let's check in on the stock. Let's see how Dutch Bros is doing right now. Up again. I mean, this stock has just been ripping all week. I wonder what the check what the 1 week return is on bros right now.
Yep. And this is the new coffee shop IPO, correct, Producer AB? Does that sound right?
Yes, sir. Yep. It's specifically in the kind of Pacific Northwest. Out in Oregon, Washington, that part of the country. These are everywhere. They're like the Dunkin' Donuts in the Northeast, where there's one on every corner in Boston. It's up 25% this week alone, Luke. Up 40.
I'm not gonna lie, the drinks don't look like that good.
Yeah, they look like, I mean, they kind of look like Dunkin' Donuts drinks, like super sugary,
sort of shitty. All right, if anybody's been to Dutch Bros, will you please comment? Like, this looks way better. Like, look at this fall. It's is it PSL season? Yeah, it's definitely PSL season.
It is definitely PSL. They have a... Right.
Here's Starbucks. Let's look at the Dutch Bros site. Yeah, the Starbucks drinks look so much more alluring.
Wait, let's look at what we're getting in the chat. Kira said, I went to Arizona on vacation, visited Dutch Bros, and went every day. It's pricey, but it tastes amazing.
All right. Matt says drinks are so bomb. Cameron is not a fan.
Not a fan. All right. So if you've been to Dutch Bros, give us a one in the chat or a two. If you've been to Dutch Bros and you like it, give us a one. If you do not like it, give us a two.
Okay, everybody likes Dutch Bros. Clearly.
Except for Cameron Dole.
Are you judging coffee brands by photos? Yes.
That's our DD. Yes. We're doing DD right now. It's very serious.
but I'll say beyond that, we're asking for a reason, right? It's not a brand that we have in Michigan, where I live. And that's why we're asking the group.
STBC lives in Oregon. Yep. This one's interesting for sure. I don't know if the stock will hang out at these prices. It's kind of hard to tell right after an IPO. You don't have a long...
I wonder, what do you know what the IPO is priced at?
Price history. I believe it opened at $36. I don't know what it was
priced at. $23.
Okay.
So okay, let's just talk through how this IPO mechanism works for a second, Producer AB. So there's a few prices to keep in mind when we're talking about IPOs. The first one is what the IPO price is at. Okay. And that's sort of the first price that we get. And that's the price at which the company is selling shares out to the market. So when the company is creating 10 million new shares and dumping them on the market, that's the price at which the company is selling those shares to the market. Typically, it's institutional shareholders that are buying those shares, and they're buying them before the stock typically starts trading. And generally speaking, the price increases from the first day of trading. There's a price increase versus where the stock price is at. So that's the first price, what the IPO price is at. And again, that's where the company is selling their shares onto the market. The second price to keep in mind is where the stock opens at. Okay, so the company is going to sell their shares for $23, but they're making that decision before the stock is actually trading. It's typically the next day that the stock is going to start trading. So basically the way that stock opening process looks like is, you know, the market maker gets all the buyers of the stock, all the sellers of the stock, lines them up, and figures out where exactly that bid ask lands and at what price this stock is going to start trading on the market. So we had the IPO priced at $23 a share. That's the price at which Dutch Bros sold shares to the institutions. Then we have the open price at $32.50. That's the price at which the stock actually started trading. And today we are sitting at $53.10. Okay, so for any of those institutional investors who got in at 23, they've already more than doubled their money. For anybody who got in when the stock started trading at 32, you're already up more than 50%. So I mean, it's definitely been a hell of a run for the short lifespan as a public company.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think anytime you have an IPO and you're trading it right after, it's one of those things that you have to keep an eye on in your portfolio. Because you know the IPOs tend to trade pretty volatile after, you know, in the months after. So if I have Dutch Bros in my portfolio right now, Luke, I'm not selling it, but I'm going to be watching it like a hawk.
Yep. They're asking for a tighter shot.
Yeah. We need a close up on Luke. There we go.
We're just going to do it like this.
Okay.
All right. Let's grab first ticker out of the chat, producer AB.
I wanted to say I saw Marin earlier. It came in earlier, MRIN. And Luke, this is one. I can share my screen. I can show my portfolio. I bought this stock yesterday. I'm up 20% on it. Let me find the
This
comment.
Is a one-year chart daily candles that we're looking at right now, guys. Should I zoom it in, producer AB?
Rich Kaiser. Yeah, let's get it. These are daily candles.
Daily candles. What do you want? Here's 5 days, 10-minute candles. How's that?
No, I want the dailies, but I want it zoomed in on the last, like, say, month or so.
All right, here are daily candles, and you got about a month on there.
Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't... So yesterday, I was looking at the chart, and the chart did look good to me. Like, it you know, it obviously had... it hadn't quite jumped up yet. So right now on the trade, it had jumped up, not as much as it is right now, though. And on the trade, I'm up... Let me check in my portfolio... Up 19%, Luke, overnight, up 20% overnight, not an options trade, just bought the stock, and it happens to be up 20% today. So let me know in the chat, is it time to sell?
And so what does the company do? Do you know?
Yeah, they do. It's kind of a SaaS company, and they renewed a contract with Google. So, you know, that obviously had a positive impact on the stock that they, so it bounced twice, which is honestly what I'm a little bit confused about, because I'm only seeing the one news thing, so I don't know why it would bounce twice on two separate days off of one piece of news.
You got some energy in it, baby. That's what it is. And shout out to Cameron Dole in the chat, is basically saying that if it holds up today, stock looks good in his view. And I tend to agree with that, right? We had that first pop. We had a hell of a sell-off off of the highs, and now we're pretty much back up to those highs.
Yeah, we're just kind of filling that gap, but it is higher now or earlier today than it was on that previous peak. So it got to 993, and now it's at 1127. So if we close above that you know, previous high, I think we're in good shape.
And maybe a prudent shout-out from Cameron in the chat saying – don't make it binary. Don't make it, should I buy or should I hold or should I sell? You can sell half, right? You can start easing your way out of the position. And that might be the move to make.
What I say to you, Cameron, is I like the way you think. I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. As you can see here, I'll scroll down. History.
Shout out Benzinga article on there.
Yep. That's Randy Elias. I asked him today because so Luke, we've talked about this before. How the whims came about was essentially Luke would be checking his portfolio and he would walk over to the news desk and say, hey, Brent, you know, why is my stock Apple up 5% today? Or he'd say, hey, Jason, because back in those days, Raz would work on the news desk like every day. And he would ask Raz like why his stocks were moving. So eventually we made a product out of why it's moving. And I asked Randy, kind of same thing, like I was Luke, you know, however many years ago that was. I was like, Randy, why is Marin up 20% today? And you know, I was like, hey, we should do a whim on it. So this is Randy. Shout out Randy. History, 22 hours ago, bought $300 worth. That's about 38 shares, 37.9 shares. So Cameron, what I am going to do is I'm going to sell 14 shares right now. Wait, no, I said 19. I'll do 19 shares right now. Wait, that's to buy, to sell. 19 shares, sell, done. Thank you, Cameron, for the advice. Boom, boom. That's how we do on Zinger Nation.
All right, now you have proceeds. Let's roll it into something else.
All right, let me know what I should buy.
Fridays are for YOLO trades. I don't know if that's prudent advice, like selling half the position when you're already up. But typically by the time we get to Friday, I'm like so tired that I'm in my YOLO trading attitude.
I gave another stock on Get Technical yesterday, which it probably wasn't the right show to give it on, Luke, because it wasn't based on technicals. It was based more on the fundamentals. But that's Foxfact, F-O-X-F. I want you to check out this because the company reported great earnings last report. The stock has been really strong. And I'm looking for previous all-time highs in this trade.
All right, here's one year chart, daily candles. I don't know. I think it's fine. I think we just rip it. Like, this is not just ripping it. I think we pick something that's up 40% today at high of day, and you just load into it.
All right, I'll share my.
Let's find one. DMYI in the chat. If anybody has symbols top of mind that look, are acting like that,
daily movers.
Stop! I'm going to use Benzinga Pro for this.
AEHR is the biggest mover today. You guys got that stock on this show at like $5.
Yes, dude, hit it. All let's right. go
for our boy.
You're at high a day.
We're all-time highs. I'm going to buy some for Ben.
You're at all-time highs. You're at high a day. You're already up 36%. This exactly fits the profile for a Friday afternoon YOLO trade. All right. Volume. One of the last warm weekends of the year.
Let's do it. We did it. History. 5 seconds ago, $200, 12 and a half shares of AHR. Shout out Ben of Story Trading.
Nice.
Yeah.
That 12 and a half is weird. That would screw with me, I think. I never bought a fractional share before. Isn't that weird?
Ever?
Never.
Oh, I just always
didn't. Well, they didn't have it right when I started. It's like a new thing.
I just always buy 2 or 3 years. In dollar amounts. Oh, my God. Look, we're already up. Oh, we were up.
I don't reinvest dividends, bro.
Half a percent.
I use it to pay down margin loans. Spencer Israel said dividends. For fractional shares. I told him I don't reinvest those dividends. I use it to pay down my margin loans. Slowly, you know, work it down.
Yeah.
But all right, producer AB, we have a very special in-office guest today, don't we?
Yes, sir, Luke. Let's get to it. Before we do, I have a quick little ad for our swag that I want to play. We need to send some more t-shirts out to the community. So if you want to get the swag, I'll give you guys a little preview and I'll drop that link in the chat.
All right. Okay.
What was that?
I'm saying, but before we do that, preview the rest of our show as well.
Okay.
What else do we have on deck today?
So we have Anthony.
We're obviously going to be checking in on your AEHR trade.
Yep. We will do that later in the show. We have Anthony Hughes joining us. He is the founder and CEO of Stonks Trading, trystonks.com. It is a new brokerage that has not yet launched, but is taking signups on the wait list. So we'll bring him here in person, Luke. Very excited for this interview. And then after that, we are going to talk about the big Bitcoin news in China, how China is cracking down on Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. And that should round out the show today.
All right, producer AB, give me a thumbs up if the audio sounds okay. We're trying something new.
You guys
hear you. Okay, but we got the thumbs up. All right, we have, for the first time in quite a while, maybe almost a year at this point, an in-office guest. So Anthony, you came all the way out here from Iowa to visit us, or maybe there's some other reason you're in town, but regardless, you are here in Detroit, Michigan. How are you doing today, man?
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
I'm good, man. First time in Detroit. I'm from the Pacific Northwest eventually, or, you know, whatever. Yeah, man, first time in Detroit. Iowa's great. Detroit's awesome. A nice little gem. But yeah, it's good to be out here, man.
So give us a little bit of your background. Tell us about your trading, investing career, anything else that just helps us give us a little bit of context.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I'm a Division I wrestler, so I love to compete, or former Division I, too old now, but yeah, so love to compete. So when I was in college, I kind of started trading on the old school OG platforms. And then Robinhood showed up on the scene. Made it a lot easier for guys like us to start trading. And yeah, so I've been about trading for about a decade now, self-taught, you know, YouTube University kind of helped out with the trading learnings and whatnot. But yeah, so trading for about a decade, manage all my own portfolios and funds, and just love it. Absolutely love it.
Okay. But then you said Robinhood is not enough. Right. You mentioned that you were from, like, you know, the traditional brokerages. You made the move to Robinhood. Yeah. But then something happened where you said Robinhood is not enough. And now you're launching your own business. So tell us about that and why you're getting it going.
Yeah. So fantastic question. So back in January, we all know the turmoil that happened in the markets. I was actually working on another software company at the time. So Stonks Trading is my fourth company. And I've successfully exited two of them already. So I was working on another SaaS product. And I was laying in bed reading through Bloomberg and Benzinga and Yahoo Finance. And all of a sudden, you can't trade GameStop anymore. And I was like, yeah, this isn't gonna work. There's a marketing issue here. And so it was like 5:30 in the morning. So I wake my wife up. I was like, Jill, I'm going to start another company today. She's like, no, please don't do that. Please just work on what you're working on. And so I was like, give me 36 hours. Let's see what happens. And so launched Stonks Trading with a landing page, bought $500 worth of Facebook advertising. And we had 1,400 people sign up for the wait list in about 30 hours. So so Stonks Trading is what we're working on right now.
All right. And one, I love how easy, like, you know, the CPC advertising makes it, right? Where you can just throw something out there and get quick market feedback, because we love to do that as well when we're testing new products. But tell us a little bit about the Stonks Trading experience. Like, what should users expect? You know, how are you going to be interfacing with the users, et cetera?
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I think we need to start from kind of the unique value proposition that we have for our users specifically. We are attempting to create the first user-owned financial platform, the first iteration of that being a retail trading app. And that was pretty much the market sentiment at the time, when everybody thought, like, these retail trading apps were kind of on the retail trader's side. And then turns out that they weren't. And so when looking at the market, how we're going to build our go-to-market strategy, I was like, man, let's give away 500,000 people shares of our company. And so that's literally what we're doing, is we're giving away about a quarter of our company right now just to users, so that we kind of always put our people first, right? And like, that needs to be the sentiment of companies, like, moving forward. It's like, when you put your customers and your people first, they're going to be evangelists for you, and they're going to be lifelong customers. And so that is literally our value proposition right now. And it kind of falls off of what Warren Buffett has believed for forever. It's shareholders make the best customers, right? So what does Warren Buffett do? He only drinks Coca-Cola. He only eats Dilly bars. He only buys his mattresses at Nebraska Furniture Mart. I mean, so he is a consumer of the companies that he owns. And so with those kind of building blocks in place, giving shares away of our company, putting our people first, we're going to build a kick-ass company, man, and it's going to be for the people, by the people.
Okay, that's sweet. And I'm learning about this at the same time that all of you guys are. So let me ask this, in terms of the mechanism for users to get those shares, is it users who are on the wait list now, and then they go ahead and they create the account when available, And then that's their gifted shares. Is it basically work like that? Does everybody get shares in proportion? What exactly does that look like?
Yeah. So right now, our app, our trading platform will launch October 17th. Knock on wood. That's what the engineers told me this week. So in about a month, in 3.5 weeks, 3.5 weeks.
Come on now.
So we're going to beta launch in about 3 weeks. And so right now it's, you go to trystonks.com. There's a button that says join waitlist, get 5 free shares, throw it up. Trystonks.com. Join the waitlist. There's no obligation. We would hope that you download the app when it's ready, but so join the waitlist. We're giving 5 shares away. And then the mechanism that we will, the vehicle that we'll be using in order to give those shares away is through a share drop on Republic. So we're partnering with Republic to be able to administer those shares. And so just join the waitlist and then eventually download the app. You'll get shares. That is literally what I'm dedicated to right now, is building a good app and giving the shares away. So,
okay. And our users, I know, are going to be curious about the back end. Right, like who are you clearing through? Who's custodying the assets? Can you talk us through that side of it?
Yeah, so we're a tech company, right? We're not a broker dealer, and so when I launched the company back in February, for one, I didn't even realize how much you needed to like be in compliance with regulations to start a trading company, because I was a SaaS guy, not a fintech guy. And so it's like, oh man, like there's a lot of stuff to do. So we are kind of using the neobank model, to where a fintech company can essentially launch a bank account and be sponsored by Bancor or BBVA or something like that. And so our sponsoring broker dealer is Alpaca Markets, and they're a San Francisco based API broker dealer. And you guys know them. Yep, you guys know them well. And so. The reason why we chose them was, I think what Robinhood did, and if we back up for a second to talk about how brokerages, retail brokerages, 0% commission brokerages make money, is it's either by order flow or by commissions. Like, I mean, those are the only really two main ways to do it. And so that was a big thing for me, was when partnering with Alpaca, I needed to know exactly how they cleared, right? And so instead of selling it to the same clearing firm, like Citadel or something like that, so that doesn't get us in trouble by saying that, but but like they go by best bid only, and they have about 7 different clearing houses that they go through. And so it's truly it goes with our ethos of, you know, trying to put the user and the customer first. But then eventually on our roadmap, we do have some aspirations to go broker-dealer as well. So, but that's further down the line. Yes.
That's the boring part. The fun part is the tech side, right? Building the application, figuring out what data to put in there, what the interface is going to be like. Yeah, so leave that to Alpaca. And huge shout out to Alpaca. If you guys don't know them, they just had some news. They raised a pretty big round. I don't remember. It was like $75 million or something. It was about $75, $80 million. Yeah, so they just raised a big round. And I remember, this must have been probably 3 years ago, visiting their offices in it Palo Alto? It was somewhere out there. Yep. And it was like 4 people there, like total. You know, it was like 2 co-founders and 2 software engineers. And I'm like, it's ambitious what they're going after. But, you know, hey, it's best of luck, and they're doing it. Yeah, so
they're crushing it. They have a huge team now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's the business. What about the stocks? Do you have favorite stocks on your radar right now? This is the Trade Idea Show, so you have to give us at least one.
No one judge me for this, okay? But I just bought the massive dip on Virgin Atlantic. Or Virgin Galactic. So I bought the dip, let's see, about 3 weeks ago now, 4 weeks ago. And that nice dip, yep. So bought it, I think it touched like 22 or something like that, bought it. So I'm not, I am a YOLO guy just because I have to be. Stonks trading, baby, like diamond hands to the moon. I like Virgin Galactic kind of long-term. I love the billionaire space race right now. I think there's a lot of momentum, but I'm also I also do buy rights on everything I do. So so I'll do covered calls. I'll sell puts to reduce my cost basis. And so that's what I'm doing on Virgin Atlantic or Virgin Galactic, because
Buy the stock and sell puts.
Oh yeah.
You get super long.
Yeah, I'll get long. I'll get long. Yeah, which I love the selling of puts, because it at least reduces my cost basis while I'm waiting. But I'll go like 10% under, like, you know, and if I get assigned on it, that's fine. And then we'll hit it again. I'll dollar cost average, like, until it finally turns around and hits reversal.
Okay. All right. I like it. What about GameStop? Are you long it still or no? I got long again for the first time in months. Was it, I don't know if anybody in the chat remembers, but it was 1 or 2 weeks ago. I had been out of it for a while. I think I had the best GameStop trade of anybody. God, our GameStop story was crazy. So we had, when Andrew left, remember when he came out against the stock? Yep. It was like $40. Yep. He broke that news on this show.
Nice.
Show that we're doing right now, that's where he broke the news.
Yes.
Nice. And I saw so much energy flowing into the chat that I'm like, okay, this is special. Yep. And that's what triggered me to buy the stock in the 40s. Yes. Did I paper hands it? Yes. But my sale price was $420.69.
You're not going to get better than that.
at like 6:15 in the morning.
No way you're getting better than that.
Like I checked my brokerage app pre-market, like when I got up, like, you know, like 5:30 or something like that. I saw it was close. Yeah. Threw that limit on there. Got in the shower. By the time I was out of the shower, filled it, $420.69. I'm like, it was meant to be. But I'm long again. As of a couple weeks ago, I'm back in the name. Where are you at with it? And the chat hates that I'm in this stock too. They think it's all dead money.
Yeah, well, I can't comment on the dead money part because I own a Diamond Hands company. But yeah, I'm not in GameStop. I got out quite a bit ago. I'm still in AMC. I hit AMC at like $8, $9, and I'm still riding that. The momentum trades are, I don't even think you can call it momentum trades anymore with just how many retail investors are behind these. But I learned my lesson with Doge. So I had Doge for like 6 months. I bought it at 0.005 cents. There's 0.5 of 1 penny. And I held it. And it was like, Doge is just not moving. And so I was like, I'm done. I'm out of it. I sold it January 21st of this year. Elon Musk tweeted like 47 seconds later, and it's been on a tear ever since. So I did learn my lesson with not sticking in with the memes. But once I hit 100%, I'm out. I got to rotate to something else personally, but don't tell that many people about it. So.
All right. And let's ask this one too, guys. Let's get Anthony some help here. Put in the chat, what is most important for you with a brokerage app? Right. So he's building this thing actively right now. Like this idea is coming from somebody in the chat said, please give us, it was Rich Geyser said, please give us a little bit more charting power. But guys, drop in the chat what is really important for you for your brokerage product. And you know, if we're all shareholders, maybe we band together.
Yes.
We start voting on these things and there we go.
So back to the charting power. So something that we're engineering, and I showed the team a little bit of the app. Maybe I'll send it over and we can throw it up sometime. But what we're trying to balance is like, you got to give Robinhood props for building a absolutely beautiful product and business. I mean, you got to give them props. But from a chart, from a charting perspective, it's like there's not that much. And then Webull rolls out. And they give a lot of charting, but it's hard to use, and that feels like TradingView, right? And so what we're trying to do is like take the design flawlessness of Robinhood with overlaid charting. So we're gonna have MACD and Bollinger Bands and everything, but we're reducing the amount of functionality you can actually do with the chart itself, and that kind of balance allows us to give more technical indicators without making it impossible to use. And then secondly, kind of our roadmap. You mind if I tell a little bit about the roadmap? So we're going to launch the trading app here in 3 weeks, hopefully. On the roadmap, we're actually launching a neobank as well. So we are partnering with Bancor to offer checking accounts, savings accounts, debit cards, credit cards, personal loans. I mean, like the whole gambit. Q1, Q2-ish of next year, we'll throw in portfolio management so people can manage their HSAs, 401ks, IRAs in the platform as well. And we really want to build a super app for the retail money manager themselves, right? And like that's kind of what we're calling ourselves now. It's like we're retail money managers. Like we're managing our own portfolio. We do the best. I don't have to pay somebody a percentage. And you know, with partnerships like Benzinga and stuff, we can trade and train and educate our people to trade better. So, and then we're gonna throw a crypto wallet in there too. But that's next year. So.
Okay, and what about this one? I see a lot of ideas coming in here. Some more useful than others. Probably the most important one that I see is the confetti, the confetti animation. You know, I think that one had to get taken out, unfortunately, when the IPO happened. Yeah. But you know, users like the confetti.
So I showed the boys here at Benzinga last night a little bit of the app, and when you execute a trade, it says, "Do you want to launch your trade?" And it's a rocket ship. And so we actually built in an animation to where you swipe up to trade, a rocket ship follows and then hits a moon. So we have like a moon that comes down and explodes a moon. So we couldn't do the confetti. I'm pretty sure there's a little design IP behind that, but the rocket into the rocket into the moon is what we have.
Yes. Yes. I'm all about the rocket. All right. That's awesome. Any other questions you guys have for Anthony, drop them in the chat. Otherwise, any final words of wisdom for us?
I guess wisdom, be a smart trader, right? Like, and like that is what we're buy the stock, sell puts, you know, of course, buy the high of all time, hold it. You know, when you hit 30, 40, 50% in gains, especially on these meme stocks, and this is what, you know, we're having to tell our community now is, eventually you got to take your profits, right? And so, Liquidate. If you're up 100%, maybe reduce position by half, rotate. I'm not a money manager, right? But like those are my words of wisdom, right? And so take your profits, have fun, continue to learn, and then get on stonks trading. So
boom. All right, guys. I'm gonna put the link in the chat one more time. Really neat concept, the giving the shares away to your users. I didn't know about that until just now. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm all about it. Cool, man. Let me ask you one more.
Yeah.
Republic. Why'd you choose Republic of all the platforms you could have partnered with for the offering?
Yeah, great question. So we actually raised a small pre-seed round on WeFunder. And so we have about 10,000 people on the wait list right now. And so we want to be as community driven as possible, which is why we're going crowdfunding route. We are trying not to raise a single dollar from a VC. This is like one of our tenets is like we don't want investment banks. We don't want VCs because as soon as I put three VCs on my board, now I become beholden to the VCs instead of our users. And so Republic has a very good track record with getting fintech companies launched, crypto companies launched. And they also offer, they're the only crowdfunding platform that offers a share drop. And so they're going to be facilitating the share drop, allocating the shares to our users once they sign up for the wait list. And which that will be done at the end of October. So we're just solidifying the partnership with Republic right now. But yeah, so like they're able to facilitate that share drop for us, which is why we essentially went with them.
Cool. All right. That's awesome, man. Cool. Appreciate you stopping by. Appreciate you hopping on with us. And the crowd, the chatters out there, Zinger Nation is definitely a fan of the concept.
Get it.
Cool. All right, guys. All righty, sir. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks. See you guys.
That was Anthony Hughes of Stonks Trading. The link is in the chat. Please go check out the website and sign up if you have not already. Let's take a quick peek into my portfolio. We'll see how those trades are doing. Check in on AHR as well as Marin. Let's see. So, Luke, I'm down about 1.5% in Marin right now. Okay. Or not Marin, AHR. Not worried about it. As Ben from Story Trading
Man,
said,
Rohan cannot get the camera height right today. I mean, Jesus. All right, how about that one? That was a pretty cool concept, AB, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about it, Luke. I don't know about you, but I might have to sign up for an account and switch my Robinhood over.
Okay. Well, hopefully when this AEHR trade hits.
I mean, Ben said
high days, baby, or what's the deal?
Cole, I just bought it about 20 minutes ago. Ben said on the show he had a very hefty, ambitious price target of about $50. So honestly, if this goes down a couple bucks, Luke, and I'm down, you know,
no, it's 10, a swing trade. Do not let your swing trades turn into long term investments, especially since I peer pressured you into making it. I will feel accountable.
No, I mean, hey, if $50 is in the future, I want to be part of it.
All right, if you say so.
We'll see. It looks like we might be getting some legs back in AHR.
Come on, baby. Let's get some green candles going.
Yeah, I need some green candles. Let's check back in on Marin. Marin Software, MRIN, up about 25% today, Luke. So definitely some.
And you hit this one yesterday?
Oh, look. Cole bought AHR at Ben's last interview at 7.
Let's go. First.
Yeah, I bought this one yesterday, Luke. There were like a few factors that went into it. Rodrigo, I sold Marin because I didn't sell all my Marin. I sold half of it because
you're already up 20% in a day, right?
Someone told me to. Cameron Dole told me to, and I said, "Hey, he sounds smarter than me," so I did it. Let me see what else is in my portfolio that's moving in today. Luke, Fubo has just been a dog for me. People in the chat will probably hate on me for this because I talk about Fubo.
Fubo like is absolutely 110% a put selling candidate.
It is. It is.
Let's zoom it out. So here's 1 year chart, daily candles, super, super tight range. Yeah, I would let's put that one on the books for next week, AB. Let's find some puts that we can sell against this one.
Yeah, I think last time we checked on it, there maybe just wasn't like that much premium that we'd be raising, but maybe you know, with some the higher VIX, some implied IV, that the premium will be good on those. I mean, I'm not out of this trade yet, but it's just been doing nothing for me. I mean, it's like Anthony was talking about with Dogecoin. He said it was just range bound for so long that he got bored of the trade, sold, and then as soon as he did it spiked. All right, we can't see what stock this is, but let me guess. So it's at 11:47. Give me an industry.
Wait, what are we looking for?
You have the stock.
Sorry. I wasn't paying attention. Skills.
We couldn't see the name of it, so I was gonna guess. I was asking for the industry, but I don't know if I would have gotten that one.
All right. What about the crypto market today, AB? What's going on, man?
So China, as has been typical China fashion for the past, you know, few months, you know, has been ramping up China's, you know, regulation and involvement in business in general. And so basically right now, China came out and said,
"Oh my God, Alibaba's down to 145, bro."
I know it's
holy
not good.
Shit. Anybody in Baba?
I got out of my Baba trades. I'm still looking. I might get into some leaps here soon.
Dude, if you bought Baba 3 years ago, you're break even. Let's look at how the numbers have changed over that same period of time.
They've probably increased their revenue by a bunch.
So over that same 3 years, they've doubled revenue and the stock is flat.
Happy. My average for Fubo is 29.76. So I don't know, dude. I mean, down 13.
I want to know where everybody's at on Baba, dude. All right, Baba. One of you like it, two if you don't. I mean, this is so we're looking right now. This is a 10-year chart with monthly candles. Okay, so we're zoomed way out. I mean, this thing is ugly. Bottom of range. The support from 3 years ago matter, sort of, maybe. Dude, I can't believe Baba's down to 145. I hadn't looked at it in a couple of weeks. I mean, last time I checked, it was still holding on around 200. Dropped another 25% on that.
Shout out Juan
Baba,
in the chat.
One, you like it. Two, you don't. I see a couple twos popping in there.
I think I'll get into a Baba trade at about 135, maybe 130.
So let's look at these Baba financials for a second. Let's do some quick valuation math. So net income on Baba, 45. This is really inconsistent. This is tough. If you average these three quarters, what do you have? You have 120 divided by three. So doing $40 million of profit a quarter, roughly. So that's $160 million a year. Or I'm sorry, $160 billion a year.
Yeah.
Market cap is $400 million AB. So what is that? 400 divided by 160. Stock's trading at 2.5 times PE, dude.
S&P average is closer to what, 5, 10?
S&P average? No way. Way higher. Well, I'm talking about 20? PE.
Oh, okay. Not price to. So Dan's saying he loves Baba at 120. I think anywhere down there in that 120 to 30 range.
All right. So 34. That's the average for the S&P 500 is 35, basically. Average PE ratio. Alibaba, which Xavier wants me to stop saying Baba, but sorry. But Alibaba's at 2.5 times. All right. Yeah, that just shows the market sentiment on this one.
I think as soon as we see institutions willing to come in and take on the potential risk for this, for how crazy undervalued it is right now. But
let's think about what that risk is. Like, what's the biggest risk? The biggest risk is it gets privatized, right? And everybody is SOL. That's the biggest risk. Is that realistic? I don't know. The market seems like it's pricing in some of that risk. What other risks could there be? Like, could there be regulation that hurts their ability to do sales? Maybe.
I mean, I'm in the boat that I think China long term will be doing. Yeah, Jack Ma went missing. We don't know if it's the real Jack Ma that came back.
Wait, have we not heard him talk yet?
I think we have, but there's like a bunch of rumors saying that they think it's like an actor playing Jack Ma. But
China,
he's also
breaking
like
it up. That's one. Solar Up is thrown out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument to be made, Luke, that the potential risks outweigh the potential for growth in this stock. I would, however, be willing to take on that risk long term. Because I think that China will be doing what it is in its power to become the economic kind of, you know, superpower of the world. And I don't think breaking up its biggest company will be, part of that plan. But we'll see.
Do you have your brokerage account open? I don't.
I do.
Can you price me out? What are some 120 December puts going for? $120 strike December puts.
120, let's do December 17th, buy puts. 120 puts are $510.
So $5 a share, is that right? Can you zoom in? I can't see.
Yep.
I got little eyes.
120, 510.
Normally, guys.
The low on the day for this contract was $4.91. The high is $5.20. So
that might be a decent move. So you sell one contract, you're going to get $500 right away for selling the contract, right? $5 a share times 100 shares in a contract. So you get $500 right away. As long as Alibaba is above $115 on December 20th or whatever the date it is that these contracts expire, you keep your $500 and enroll it into something else. Bad case scenario, let's say the stock goes down to $75, right? I mean, that would be another halving of where it is now. Then you're on the hook for 70, you know, the 115 minus 75 times 100. So then you're on the hook for 4 G's.
I think another way to play it, Luke, would potentially be looking out to these very long term. So this one's January 2023. This is a year and a half away. Maybe like something like $180 strike price. Or you could even go further. I mean,
I can sort of get behind that. Okay, so let's think about this one. Hold on, I'm sitting down. So you're going way out to January 2023. So that's what, 15 months.
Yep, almost a year and a half.
You do go back to $18. What was that? 180 strike.
180 strike is about, it'd be about $2,000 to pick up this contract. But I mean, Luke, I would be so shocked if in a year from now, Baba isn't back up to, say $200 or so.
Yeah, so you're paying $2,000 today. If the stock got back up to 250, then you make $7,000 off of your two. That's not horrible.
No, I mean, we'll take that. We'll take 300%, 200% any day of the week. I think
it's a long time, right? So you're way out. It's not a 200% trade in a month.
The one benefit to doing a trade like this compared to selling the puts is you know exactly how much you could potentially lose in the 1890. I mean, if for whatever reason Baba just tanked and got below that $115 price, you would have to buy 100 shares at one to buy yourself out. And for someone like me that has a smaller portfolio, this way I know exactly how much I would potentially be on the hook for. And I would only do this if I was willing to take on, about $1,900 worth of risk for a potentially, very profitable trade.
And think about, too, how could you hedge it a little bit? Right? So you could buy those calls. That's risky, too. And I was going to say, and you could also do, short something like a JD.com.
Yeah, but I think all
that's something that's less volatile is why I'm using that one. Another Chinese name, less volatility.
I wouldn't short something like JD.com just because I think it's also gotten beaten down. I feel like if we have news that's good for Baba and Baba's moving up, that JD will probably
Yeah, I'm thinking about it like as a hedge. And I'm using the JD.com because, again, it's another Chinese tech giant, but less volatile.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So that if there is more bad news, then JD goes down and we're at least making some money off that while our Baba call is getting smacked.
And I like STBC's recommendation. So rather than buying the calls, AB, and shelling out that $1,900, you could burn the money and be warm for about a minute.
Yeah. I mean, that does provide some value.
Decent. It's decent.
I
get behind that.
I think there are other, if you're not that risk averse, there are other opportunities out there that will be not as risky. But at the end of the day, some of the more risky trades do end up paying off in the long term. I'm not saying I'm going out and buying Baba here, but like I said earlier, if it gets down to the $120, $130 range, I'll be looking at contracts again.
Okay, and Hex is throwing out another suggestion. This trade idea I think is a little bit better than the STBC one. Use that $1,900. Don't buy the Baba calls and buy tacos.
That's what kind, Hex? Like ground beef? We talking chicken? Pork?
We're talking
tacos,
Taco
maybe?
Bell for sure. Is there a dollar? 1,900 tacos.
You can we check out? That. What's the company? Yum. They own Taco Bell, right?
It's sort of confusing.
Yum
owns Taco Bell in certain geographies, I believe.
It operates through the following segments: KFC, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell division, Habit Burger Grill. I've never heard of Habit Burger Grill. I don't know. I mean, this could. Wow, it's up over 100% over the past year.
Do you know this symbol, AB? While we're on the topic, you might not know this one.
What is it?
YUMC.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop. And even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Do you know that one?
Yumsy. Oh.
They spun out China.
You know that KFC is absolutely huge in China. I don't know why, but it is.
Never been. Everyone loves tacos. Yep, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, yum. So here's the thing, Luke. Look at this. So if I pull up the 5-year chart, we can see right here where the COVID crash was and it got all the way down to $58, currently at $125. But even before COVID, I mean, it was at about $120 and trading lower. I mean, it got all the way up to like way higher than its, you know, pre-COVID levels. And I think a lot of these fast food chains actually did pretty decent during COVID, when people couldn't go sit down at restaurants and whatnot, and you had food delivery. So this could be interesting to me, because if you think about it, if we go into another lockdown, they're going to be better off than, you know,
we're not locking down again. I don't think, no way in hell.
I don't think so either, but that's also good news for the stock.
That we're Are you fully vaccinated, AB?
I am.
I wonder where the chat is. People might not like this. I'm curious. But half the country's vaccinated now.
I would guess the chat's about 50-50.
I would guess about 50-50. If you want to vote, we're going to make you vote on stocks. We won't make you vote on this one. One if you are, two if you're not. I was a holdout, but eventually got it.
My point that I was going with, Luke, is that I think Yum is kind of insulated from any like coronavirus fears, because, you know, everything goes according to plan. People are going to be going out more, spending more money at drive-thrus. And if something does happen, they're going to be in a better position than some of their relative peers.
Wow, the chat is exactly 50-50.
It's Born to Be Free said too, but I have COVID. Born, I hope everything's okay.
In the comment right before that is one, but very anti-mandate.
Yeah, that's kind of where I stand too. I think it's very silly, any mandate. I think obviously companies have a right to, you know, do like set any regulations.
That's my thing, dude. I'm tired, but also in addition to being tired, I'm all about private enterprise. Do what you will. Their choice.
Yeah. I don't think like the New York City one, like I'm totally against that. Like, I don't think cities or state entities should be mandating vaccines. But I think people that are upset that companies do it, it's like, look, companies do what they want. You know, you don't, no one's
forcing. Could you imagine if they brought that shit to Michigan? Holy crap.
Oh, people would,
they would burn the state down. Yes.
People would riot.
All right. What else, producer AB?
Yeah, I mean, that was really all. Let us know in the chat what you're watching today. I had my eyes on the cryptocurrency at large, obviously, with the China news. Not great. You know, China outlawing cryptocurrency as a whole. I don't know. So in China, there's
funny. I just got a text message from Uber. I'm an Uber user. I've never been a driver. Asking if it's inviting me to be an Uber driver. I wonder if
that means Uber is struggling with drivers right now.
Yeah, that's how I interpret that too.
Which could potentially drive up prices of Ubers if there's a shortage of supply. So I don't know. I hate Uber's stock. I just absolutely hate it.
I never traded it before.
I don't like it. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of any of Grubhub isn't a stock anymore. They like sold them to Just Eat Takeaway. Dash. I don't like any of these companies that are essentially.
You know what stock I love that we haven't talked about in forever? The most tried and true steady grind stock of all time.
Apple.
GameStop. No, I'm just kidding. We haven't talked about it in a while.
Ford. No, tried and true. I mean, Apple would be my guess.
I just put it up.
I'm not even looking at I'm looking at my brokerage. Oh, Visa.
Visa. It just grinds, man. And it pays a dividend, too. The reason why I'm bringing this one up now is I was just looking through it through my brokerage, kind of looking at what's up and down. We haven't talked about this one for a while. It pays $1.20 a year dividend. It's not like it's a huge dividend, but it's just one of those stocks that I've owned forever, plan on continuing to own forever. This is a 5-year chart. I'll zoom it out more. This is a 10-year chart. I mean, there's no quick rips or dips. We had that COVID, of course, but generally speaking, I mean, it is a very steady stock. It's a highly embedded stock, right? It's tough to work out of the economy. You know, people are going to say crypto could be the thing that would, but I mean, come on, let's give it a little bit of time there. But Visa, great, great, great stock to sell puts against as well. Steady income. You don't get a ton for selling the puts, but again, if you could assign the shares, you're buying the stock below whatever it was trading at whenever you sold the puts, and you're owning a very, very steady, tried and true stock. This is a core holding in my brokerage. Core holding. And we never talk about it.
I mean, yeah, I think the credit card industry has been huge. We'll see a lot of these continue to grow. Why do you prefer Visa compared to some of its competitors?
I see MC in there, MasterCard. No reason to tell you the truth. Okay, now I have the reason. Look at this. So here's the chart of MasterCard. Oh, I didn't hit C. Wait, what's MasterCard? Oh, MA, that's right. MA. Very similar chart. No reason, I guess, to tell you the truth. Visa's a stock that I've always
held. Is your credit
card
a Visa or a MasterCard?
I don't know. I think a Visa. Let's see.
I think I have both. I got a Visa.
I have two. I have a work card and a personal card on me. Both Visas. Wow.
I have a MasterCard.
Producer AB, when we go to Orlando on the 8th, so what is that, 2 weeks from today? All right, guys, 2 weeks from today, Producer AB and I are going to hang out in Orlando for a few days. Y'all should seriously consider coming. It's going to be a lot of fun. FinTwit, Jonah Lupton's taking us.
Wait, is it over a weekend?
Yeah.
Frick yeah. Yep, Friday to Sunday.
Yes, exactly. We're going to get in Friday night and come home Sunday night. So I'm saying everybody should come hang out with us. But you know what'd be fun, AB, is I've been banking credit card points all of COVID. We should just blow them all in this 48 hours.
Points?
It's like
can they be used on just on
it's like $3,500 of points
or anything?
You get the best flight around, and then we'll get we'll get a sweet hotel room.
Shout out Anthony. Anthony will be there. Anthony, let us know. Anyone who's planning on going, shoot us an email at shows@benzinga.com, and I'll make sure I pack a bag of swag.
Yes, even if you're not just registering now, please email let's do Power Hour, because I'm on that one. Email Power Hour at benzinga.com. Both AB and I are on it.
I just don't want to overload your inbox, but I got to make sure with Luke beforehand that I'm good to, check a bet. Or I can't. What if the only thing I bring down, Luke, is like a carry on full of Benzinga swag, and then I don't have any room left for my own gear? I'm fine with that.
And if anybody has feedback for Benzinga, I'm dropping a number in there as well. Go ahead and give that number a buzz, and share any feedback you have for us. But all right, AB, our time has come to an end.
Our time has come to an end. Coming up, we have Get Technical. Mark Petrino, the dean of Benzinga Trading School, is going to be joining us. If you haven't heard about Benzinga Trading School, stick around to Get Technical. We're very excited to launch this, and we want you to be a part of it. So we will get that going on Get Technical right now. Without further ado, here we go.
Benzinga Trading School, dude. Starts next Monday.
Drop that link in the chat.
I'm putting the link in the chat. I'm in. College style lessons for trading. It's God damn it. I pasted the wrong link. It's the first time we're doing education. It's going to be college style curriculum. I'm 110% in.
Yep. All right. Well, if you want to learn more about it and how to get a great deal, as part of the inaugural class, maybe a fancy little Benzinga diploma, join us on Get Technical. We're going to go ahead and start right now.